Hello, witches. Welcome to episode 20 of Witch Talk. My name is Brie. I'm a Scorpio sun, Taurus moon, Pisces rising, and this is a bonus episode. We are in the last few days of Pride Month, even though every month is Pride Month, but I kind of just wanted to go off script a little and talk about gender and astrology, but more importantly, a discussion revolving outside of the binaries and its connection to astrology. This is, number one, not only such an important conversation, but to such a talked about topic in astrology. A lot of people don't understand gender and feminine versus masculine energy in astrology, and why would they? It's made up and outdated. But I had a lot of fun when I was in Europe because I got to research and think about this concept and topic for a bit. And like I said in my previous episodes, I learned a lot about astrology on that trip because I wasn't researching things for work or for creating content. It was solely for my own enjoyment, which I hadn't done in a while. So I really had a lot of fun digging into topics like this and its connection to astrology. And I guess I was so inspired by it, I decided to make an episode out of it. So that is that. Let's get into it. I'm pumped. So as a little precursor to this episode, let me just start by saying that for centuries, astrology has been this tool of symbolic language that draws connections between planets and human experiences. Traditionally, the symbolism has included very specific gendered associations that reflect bigger and older cultural and historical views on masculinity and femininity. But as our society's understanding of gender evolves beyond a simple binary framework, it's time to re-examine astrology, and it's time to think about how it might be expanded to reflect a more inclusive and nuanced view of gender. In astrology, gender roles have been deeply embedded within the symbolic structure of the zodiac, planets, and aspects. Planets like Mars and Venus are usually seen as archetypes of male and female energies. Example, traits like aggression and assertiveness for Mars and beauty and harmony for Venus, and signs of the zodiac have also been characterized as either masculine or feminine, creating a dichotomy that aligns with historical implications of what gender is. I think that even though these assignments, while meaningful in their context, just reflect a time when gender roles were more rigidly defined and less questioned than they are today. Today, we know that, at least most of us, know that gender is a complex, multifaceted structure that goes way beyond the binary categories of male and female. It encompasses a spectrum of identities and expressions that are not confined to traditional definitions. And that broader and bigger understanding really challenges me as an astrologer and all the astrologers and astrology people to rethink the gendered aspects of astrology. So by exploring gender as a fluid spectrum, we can open up new ways of interpreting astrological symbols and narratives that better reflect the diversity of the human experience. Astrology, like all human systems of thought, is shaped by the cultural and historical contexts that it emerges from, and the gender binaries that have long been a part of astrological interpretation is no exception. These binaries reflect and show a worldview that was once extremely so very dominant, but is now being questioned and expanded for good. And my hope is that as people start to practice and engage and think about astrology more in the present day, which is happening, we have an opportunity to recontextualize its symbols and meanings in ways that resonate with more contemporary, more modern values and understandings of identity. So this episode today essentially is just to open up a discussion and to explore how we might move beyond the traditional binaries of gender in astrology, or just talk about gender in astrology and how we can maybe create a more inclusive and flexible industry when it comes to astrology. This means questioning the established roles and characteristics assigned to planets and signs, and thinking about how they might be interpreted in a way that includes non-binary and gender fluid people. So as you listen today, I really want you to approach the topic with an open mind and a willingness to challenge long-standing assumptions. I have a wide range of ages and generations that listen to this podcast, so I don't know where everyone else stands, but we also know by now that I'm pretty liberal. I want you to think about how we can honor the traditions of astrology, especially as someone like me who recently made the switch to use strictly traditional rulership and traditional astrology and whatnot, but while also embracing new insights that reflect the complexities of gender today. So as I started to touch on earlier, for a long time, traditional astrology has attributed specific gender roles to planets, reflecting the historical and cultural context in which these systems were developed. Example again, Mars is typically associated with masculine, quote unquote, qualities like aggression, assertiveness, and drive. Venus, on the other hand, embodies traditionally feminine traits like beauty, love, and harmony. And these gendered attributions align with classical views of gender and gender roles, where men were often seen as warriors and women as nurturers. This binary perspective is also seen in other planetary assignments as well. So the sun, something that is a symbol for the self and consciousness, is often seen as a masculine principle, while the moon, representing emotions and intuition, is seen as feminine. So this division reinforces a binary framework, right, where each planet's traits are seen through a gendered lens, which potentially limits our understanding of the planets as complex symbols with a range of emotions and expressions. When we see or think or interpret these traditional assignments, we have to ask ourselves, how can these planets be reinterpreted to reflect a more nuanced view of gender? Are there ways to view Mars's assertiveness or Venus's harmony as characteristics that transcend gender, applying to all people regardless of their gender identity? And by rethinking these associations, we can open up new possibilities for interpreting astrological charts in a more inclusive way. Also, zodiac signs have been traditionally categorized as masculine and feminine, you know, yin and yang. Signs like Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius, which are typically seen as active and outwardly focused, are labeled as masculine. Signs like Taurus, Cancer, and Pisces, which are seen as more receptive and inwardly oriented, are considered feminine. Masculinity is always associated with action and external achievement, and femininity with receptivity and being nurturing. But these binary classifications can be extremely restrictive, obviously. They imply that certain qualities are inherently linked to specific genders and reinforce stereotypes that limit the potential for a more holistic understanding of the signs. Example, an Aries woman might feel that her natural assertiveness conflicts with traditional feminine roles, while a Pisces man might struggle with societal expectations that discourage emotional expressiveness in men. And the houses and aspects also carry gendered interpretations. The first house, associated with the self and outward identity, is often linked to masculine qualities, emphasizing assertiveness and individuality. The fourth house, which is associated with the home and family, is typically viewed through a feminine lens, focusing on nurturing and emotional connections. And those interpretations can reinforce traditional gender roles, suggesting that certain life areas and certain behaviors are more appropriate for one gender than the other, which not only limits a person's self-expression, but also perpetuates outdated stereotypes. The idea that caring for the home is a primarily feminine responsibility can marginalize men who are equally involved in domestic life. So to address these issues, I think we can reinterpret the houses and aspects in a gender-neutral way. The first house can represent the self in a way that includes all forms of identity expression, and the fourth house can emphasize the importance of home and family for everyone, regardless of gender. Now, I want to get into understanding gender as a social construct and kind of just this more contemporary understanding of gender. In contemporary discourse, from what I've seen and talked about myself and just as a Gen Zer, gender is increasingly understood as a social and cultural construct instead of this biological thing. And that perspective of gender recognizes that gender is not binary, but exists on a spectrum, and it encompasses a wide range of identities and expressions. And that shift we made basically challenges traditional views that rigidly define masculinity and femininity. It offers a more flexible and inclusive framework for understanding gender, which we love over here. This evolving understanding of gender forces us to reconsider how we approach gender in astrology, traditional astrological interpretations usually reflect the binary framework that was made and prevalent when these systems were developed. But by acknowledging that gender is fluid and culturally constructed, we can start to question these traditional associations and explore new ways of interpreting astrology. I think we can ask ourselves, how do traditional gender roles in astrology align with contemporary understandings of gender? In what ways do they fall short? Because astrology is deeply embedded in the cultural context from which it arises. So the traditional gender assignments in astrology reflect the historical periods and societies in which these systems were developed, where gender roles were very rigid and binary. These cultural contexts have shaped the way we understand and interpret astrology, but also some cultures recognize this broader range of gender identities that wasn't just the male or female. Many indigenous cultures in North America have recognized the existence of more than two genders for a very long time. The term two-spirit is used by some indigenous people to describe a person who embodies both masculine and feminine qualities, or who takes on a gender role that is not strictly male or female. Two-spirit people usually hold very special cultural and spiritual roles within their communities. Two-spirit people are seen as these gifted people with unique spiritual insights and abilities, usually serving as healers, shamans, or spiritual leaders. They are respected and valued for their ability to bridge the masculine and feminine, and their existence literally challenges the binary gender framework associated with Western thought. And I think that integrating the concept of two-spirit into astrology could involve viewing planets and signs as embodying a range of energies rather than fixed gender roles. Example, a two-spirit perspective might say that Venus, traditionally seen as feminine, could also represent qualities of balance and integration that are accessible to all people regardless of gender. In South Asia, particularly in India, Pakistan, and Bangladesh, the Hijra community represents a recognized third gender. Hijras are usually born male or intersex, but from the way I understand it, they might adopt a gender expression that is neither strictly male or female. The Hijra community has been acknowledged in South Asian societies for centuries and plays unique social and cultural roles. Hijras usually participate in religious ceremonies like blessings at weddings and births and have historically been revered for their supposed spiritual powers. And let it be known, they do face social marginalization and discrimination, but their identity as a distinct third gender is recognized in different legal and cultural contexts. I really do think that is so fun and cool, and incorporating the concept of a third gender, or neutral gender, I guess, in astrology could be interesting. A lot of astrology is math and is very calculated, so I wonder how that would shift things. But I read a lot about this idea when researching this topic, and it was so prevalent in indigenous cultures and South Asian cultures, but also Pacific Islander and Southeast Asian and Native Hawaiian cultures. And it's funny because some of my favorite spiritual practices stem from those cultures. So it would make sense that I was seeing that within these communities. And by drawing on these cultural perspectives, we can enrich our understanding of astrology and create a more inclusive practice that acknowledges and celebrates the full spectrum of human gender identities. This approach not only honors the richness of traditional practices, but it also aligns with the more contemporary values of diversity and inclusion, and it allows astrology to still be relevant and still be a useful tool for personal and spiritual growth. And you know what? I think it's important to also think about what someone who would disagree with all of this would say, because people are so sensitive when it comes to astrology and how it should be practiced, and astrology is taboo in general. So whatever, let's play devil's advocate for a moment. Let's play a game of devil's advocate stance and my rebuttal. I think that from a traditionalist perspective, someone, not me, but someone might argue that the established gender constructs in astrology are part of a long-standing tradition that has been proven effective for many different people. And those constructs provide a consistent and coherent framework for interpreting astrology and understanding human behavior. They might say that changing these constructs could disrupt the continuity of astrology and lead to a loss of valuable insights that have been developed over centuries. They might say that the symbolic language of astrology, with its gendered associations, reflect a rich cultural heritage that should be preserved. They might argue that modern reinterpretations risk diluting this heritage and losing the depth of meaning that comes from a deep understanding of traditional symbols and their history. And here's what I would say to that. I think that even though it's true that traditional gender assignments have historical significance, it's important to recognize that astrology, like any other discipline, evolves over time to reflect new understandings and societal changes. So insisting on strict adherence to traditional gender roles really limits astrology's ability to make space for different gender identities and experiences. And let's also take a second to dig a little bit deeper, get more fun with it, and consider intersectionality in astrology. Astrology focuses on people's charts and interpretations based on planetary positions, signs, and houses, but people's experiences are shaped by multiple intersecting identities that goes beyond just gender and beyond a chart. Different cultural perspectives are going to influence how certain astrological symbols are interpreted. A planet's influence on identity and life path might vary by a lot between a Western perspective and an Indigenous perspective that acknowledges a broader range of gender identities. Does that make sense? Socioeconomic status can impact how people experience and express gender within their societal context, influencing their astrological interpretations related to career and material wealth and social standing. Sexual orientation intersects with gender identity to shape a person's astrology. Understanding how these aspects interplay can provide deeper insights into relationship dynamics, into emotional needs and personal growth potentials indicated by placements. And then there are also just these ethical considerations in astrology that I think everyone should have, because personally, I think that astrologers have a responsibility to ensure their practice is ethical and respectful and inclusive of different gender identities. But identities in general, the main one I automatically think of is language use. Adopting gender neutral language in readings and interpretations to avoid reinforcing binary stereotypes is so important these days. Sensitivity towards clients' preferred gender pronouns and identities during consultations, you know, creating a safe space where people feel affirmed and respected in their self-expression. Acknowledging and respecting cultural differences in gender identity and expression, particularly in global astrological practices where traditions probably differ significantly from Western norms. Speaking of which, I have been thinking about the future direction we're going in and the research that could be done, and I have no idea if this is happening, probably is somewhere, but research to explore how people of different gender identities perceive and resonate with astrology reading. So like investigating the success of traditional versus inclusive readings in meeting different client needs, tracking the evolution of gender symbolism in astrology texts over time, you know, looking at the shifts in interpretations and their implications for contemporary astrological practices, and really just encouraging collaboration between astrologers, gender studies students, and researchers to advance knowledge and understanding at the intersection of astrology and gender diversity. Integrating discussions on gender diversity and inclusivity into astrology curriculum, if there is any really, ensuring future generations of astrologers understand how to practice in a culturally competent and affirming manner. Hosting workshops where astrologers can engage in dialogue with LGBTQ plus communities to understand their needs and perspectives better. How is it that I, a 20-year-old astrologer, seem to have all the answers? I'm kidding. I don't. But I definitely do know where to start. Come on. So I want to wrap up this episode with some questions regarding this topic that I had personally wrote down. And after thinking about it, feel like I can give an answer to and almost sum up what I've talked about today. First one I wrote down was, what would a chart look like if it were interpreted without any reference to gender? Honestly, pretty simple answer. A chart interpreted without reference to gender would focus on the universal qualities and energies represented by astrological symbols. It would emphasize personal characteristics, psychological tendencies, and spiritual potentials without assigning them to specific gender roles. That approach would allow people to explore their charts in a way that resonates with their unique identity and experiences, free from the constraints of traditional gender expectations. It encourages a more holistic understanding of astrology that promotes self-discovery and personal empowerment, regardless of gender identity. Second one, do gender-neutral or non-binary interpretations of astrology risk losing the depth of traditional symbolic meanings? Basic answer is no. I don't think that gender-neutral or non-binary interpretations of astrology necessarily risk losing the depth of traditional symbolic meanings. I think that instead, they offer an opportunity to enrich astrological practice by expanding its symbolic language to encompass a wider range of human experiences and identities. I think that by reinterpreting astrological symbols in ways that resonate with contemporary understandings of gender diversity, astrology can deepen its relevance and meaning for people looking for guidance and self-understanding beyond traditional gender roles. Last one was, could modern reinterpretations lead to a dilution of the historical and cultural richness of traditional astrology? And I think no. Instead, they can enhance our appreciation of astrology's adaptability and relevance across different cultural and historical contexts. I think that by critically examining traditional gender constructs in astrology and exploring alternative interpretations that embrace gender diversity, astrology can evolve while still honoring its rich heritage. That evolution allows for astrology to remain a very dynamic and insightful tool for personal growth and spiritual exploration in a world that values inclusivity and respect for all gender identities. And that's all anyone really wants in the end, I hope. So with that being said, that concludes this bonus episode of Witch Talk. I hope you all enjoyed. I hope you learned something or are walking away with something new. And I barely scratched the surface here, but I just wanted to record some thoughts that I was having. But don't forget that the love and sex readings and transit and timing readings are both discounted for the rest of June, for the rest of the week. Happy Pride Month. I will see you all next week. Bye.